about self. And when one realizes that self is no self, you don't need, one does not need, one can give everything away. So we don't need it anymore. Can you explain a little bit more about it?
I think that is part of the Doha of what come about. He doesn't say no self. He says if you see your mind, your rigpa, pristine wisdom, as free of all extremes, meaning that there's no need to kind of grasp at anything, but remain fresh, and, because the mind is, you know, we say that this moment of experience and this moment of experience, this moment of experience, this moment of experience, this moment of experience is creating the next moment of experience, and that is creating the next moment of experience. There's no one thing that my mind kind of all the time one. So therefore, you know, it's not about anyway, so when you understand that, understand the way your consciousness is, then you become, you know, what can you say, you become very clear that there's no need to be too much afraid of and too much crave for things. That experience comes, not that you have to kind of label it. This is very important to understand. If I say, oh, there's no self, there's no self, there is no self, and then I kind of, you know, making an identification or label, no self. But that is another level, same as self. Yeah. But if you have this experience, then it's another way. So that's the understanding. So when that happens, then, you know, it's not that you have to give away everything or things like that. That's that we have. We don't lose the wisdom. Yeah, this is very important. I think from Buddhist point of view, all our mind has the wisdom of knowing what is the right thing to do or not to do at this moment, what is beneficial, what is not beneficial. It is not necessary, you know, sometimes people feel that we need to have fear to protect ourselves. That's not what Buddhism wants to say. They say that we don't need fear to protect ourselves. We need wisdom. You know, we need the clarity of mind. Sometimes people say, if you don't have fear, then how do you protect yourself when you cross the road? You know? I say that's totally ridiculous. You know, you don't need fear. You need wisdom to cross the road. If you have fear, you are more likely to be caught. Because if you panic, then you are gone. Yeah, the panic is the most worst danger. If you panic, worst danger. I used to give examples of in India, for instance. You know, there's no red light. There's no, you know, crossing, you know, bar. So you just have to cross the road. just anywhere. And then they, you know, there is no rules, so the cars are coming from all sides, you know, buses and cars and tractors and elephants and oxes and bullock carts and horse carts and bicycles and rickshaws and you know, auto rickshaws and, you know, all sorts of things, you know, sometimes in the wrong way also. And like, so you just have to, walk very, very slowly. And then when you are kind of in the middle of a road, the cars never stop. So you have to make yourself very flat. So that if you panic and run, then you are finished, you know. So therefore the fear is not a protection, it's actually a danger. So therefore, you know, I think it's like that.
You spoke about true grasping conception of existence, non-existence. If I read on Heart Sutra, everything exists only by name. How can I combine that with experience of touch, feeling of touch? If everything exists only by name, if it has no inherent existence.
What is touch?
Like this, shake hand, relation.
Yeah, then what?
Well, this feels like concrete. It doesn't feel...
Who feels like concrete?
Me.
Who is me? Where is that?
maybe not there, but if everything would exist only by name.
No, it's not like that.
Nominal existence.
The understanding is the Heart Sutra, or is that everything is dependently existing. Dependently and relatively existing. So therefore, they have no independent existence because they are all dependently and relatively existing. It's not to say that you cannot touch anything, or you can. Of course, we can touch, but you know, everything is relative and dependent. I said this is my hand, but my hand is what? One or many? You know? My hand is lots of things. Yeah? And then each of the elements there is also lots of things. And each of that is also lots of things. And also they're all changing all the time, and influenced, and you know. So it's a very dependent thing. Where is my hand? This is finger, this is finger, this is finger, this... Where is hand? There's no hand, it's only fingers. The palm. Yeah? So therefore, hand is a kind of name given to all these things together. There's nothing called hand in itself. So hand is a relative thing. It's a dependent thing. Yeah? So finger, what is finger? Finger is also like that. You know, what's a nail? Nail is also like that. So what's the atom? Atom is also like that. What's the, you know, part of an atom? That's also like that. So therefore, everything is like that. So that's the idea.
So if it says everything exists only by name, it doesn't mean there is no more...
There is feeling and all these things, experience, but it, you know, it is also relative. It's also dependent. It's also transient. There's no one concrete thing or independent thing existing on its own. Especially touch is lots of chemistry, you know. You need body, you need something else to touch. You need the sensation of touch, which is also a very complicated experience. If you look into the science, it's a very complicated, no, to touch. Yeah? So, like that. It's everything is like that.
So the opposite of inherent, the experience of a self, an inherent self.
Yeah, there is no independent thing which exists on its own.
So relation is always necessary.
Yeah, relations.
The opposite of.
That's right. It's all relationship and relative. Because, you know, when you say relationship, it's not like there's one thing concrete and one thing concrete in this relation, but, you know, these are all like this, the right and left. You know, is right there without left? Yeah, right is relative term, no? Because of left, you have right. Because of right, you have left. Right doesn't exist if left is not there. So both doesn't exist in on its own, isn't it? It's relatively existing. So in this way, everything is relatively existing.
So out of relation comes experience of no real self and no real mind or no real you.
Yeah, that's why it is said in Heart Sutra, form is emptiness. Emptiness is form. So emptiness is form is very important to understand. Yeah?
And touch is, and feeling is still.
Yeah, the touch is emptiness and emptiness is touch.
Yeah, it almost seems like a contradiction.
Because there is the experience of touch, but there is no, you know, no true thing that is totally existing as touch. It's a kind of relative thing, yeah? It's a very dependent. So therefore, it's like that. It's an experience. And all experiences are transient.
And our true grasping conception makes it look like real.
Yeah. The real is what my mind is making. It is there, the touch, yes. Touch is real, it's there.
So the opposite of the true grasping conception as inherent self would be relation.
Yeah, relative and dependent. Yeah, that's why the interdependence, what we call interdependence.
This view of dependent relation, is this
emptiness
combined with Dzogchen also?
Yeah, Dzogchen is very much based on all those things also. Same thing. Dzogchen is no different from Heart Sutra.